podcast of the Man of Shandy and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 2, episode 16, our 61st episode. Sup?
Yeah. We're getting closer and closer to AARP age.
We're getting closer and closer to triple digits.
Yeah, I think we would already be getting the letters in the mail at this point.
I think so. I think we would have gotten them 10 weeks ago.
That's probably true.
I think we're due probably. What?
What is the age for AARP?
I don't know, but I think retirement age is like 66 or something. So maybe we'll do a live retirement show for our 66th episode.
And we're out.
And peace, guys.
No, just kidding.
When would that be? Probably sometime around Halloween, right?
Right.
Halloween. No, not Halloween. You know what I mean. 61.
It'd be like a Thanksgiving episode.
Yes, thank you. 64, 65, 66. That would be the week of Thanksgiving.
Well, there we go.
So there we go.
I think we could work with this.
Possibly.
Yeah.
We'll have broadcast giving. Yeah, broadcast giving. Oh, my God.
That.
Let's do that.
I like that.
Okay, that's going to be a thing that happens. I love it. That's perfect. I won't have to edit it that week. We'll just get it up, get it out. But yeah, we can have like the broad giving, and everybody can come over to our corner of the internet.
Yep.
And feast.
Yes.
We'll make some treats.
I'll bust out the fake wine. It'll be great.
Is this like a live show? Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
I think it could be. I think it should be.
I think it's been a while, so yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I think we're due.
Yes, and in a year that has been a rough year with a lot of things to...
Sorry. No, wait, Shandy, are you still alive? Are you going to make it to the broadcast?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You're supposed to choke on the turkey at the dinner table.
I did not mute quickly enough. I just had a sip of my beer, and I'm just at a weird angle. I don't know.
It's all right. Sometimes it just goes down the wrong pipe. It happens to me frequently.
She's at a weird angle. I'm sorry.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Make them more interesting sometimes.
Yeah, there we go.
Change it up.
Just
don't choke.
Don't choke. Anyway, broad giving. Cool. What's up, guys? I don't know where. Oh, I was going to say, it's been somewhat of a crazy year. So I think that everybody should come to the YouTube table with something that they're thankful for. Because that's the purpose of Thanksgiving, right?
God, yes.
That
Can I just say, Thanksgiving, pie. Like, despite obvious problems with Thanksgiving, it is my favorite holiday.
Yes, I believe you
Right, the pies.
That.
The pies. We talked at length about the pies last year.
All the pies was almost an episode title.
I thought it was an episode title.
I think we went with America on a Plate, maybe?
Yes, we did.
I thought they were two separate episodes. This memory of mine, I tell you.
I mean, while Shandy's talking, I could easily go look it up.
Yes, let's find out. No, there were a lot of pies last year, but it's not even the pies. It's just that, like, you eat good food and hang out with family, and you don't have to worry about giving gifts.
That's true.
There's no, like, financial thing sort of tied up with it and dependent on it. And I like that. So Thanksgiving's awesome. And it's also the official opening of the Christmas season, which is great.
I thought September 1st was the official opening of the Christmas
season. Also, I thought it was July 31st.
That works.
Well, that's Harry Potter's birthday, so it's like Christmas in a way.
Ooh, good pull.
All right, then. Anyway, what is going on with everybody? I really, again, for another, I'm so freaking busy. Life has been a whirlwind, but I can't really, like, there's been nothing notable. And I can make anything notable, but there's been nothing notable to really happen to me. Pooping on the potty is not going well, so there's that. Nobody wants to hear about that right now.
My mom did say, though, I was talking to my mom. I saw my mom on Friday. She came into the city. We went to see a show together. And I was talking to my mom about Zachary's issues with the potty. And my mom was like, don't worry about it. He'll get there. Like, my brother was the same way. She's like, he was almost 4. And then it was just one day. He was just like, yep, I'm done with it. She's like, he'll get there. So as a parent that also struggled with that, you know, there is a light at the end of that tunnel, my dear. Or he'll just wear diapers to college.
He'll be the only kid that doesn't have to worry about pissing his pants when he's drunk.
Yep. See, look at you looking at the positive already.
Trampolines, never have to worry about that. Oh, he's a dude. He probably doesn't have to worry anyway.
Right.
The answer to our question was right. The episode where we talked about all the pies, we ended up calling it the one with all our girl crushes.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
What's her name?
Kate McKinnon and a whole bunch of other people.
I thought that was Kate McKinnon and Taylor Swift.
Nope. That was a different episode. That was when we talked about the Ghostbusters, I think. No, that was TLDR. I don't know. Whatever.
Whatever. Someone else probably has, I don't know.
Yeah, somebody can have that.
Exactly.
Who am I talking about? It's probably going to be me. When I'm editing this, I'm just going to stop and be like, you know what? What was that we talk about? And then 3 hours later, I'm going to be like, that's what we talked about. Anyway.
You know, I had a very boring weekend this weekend. Turns out I had a bit of a kidney infection.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sucked real bad. So I came back from, well, spoiler alert, TMI alert, whatever. I came back from Morocco with a bit of a UTI. It happens. Sweaty, gross, sitting on long, sweaty, hot train rides. You know, it happens. But I had a little bit of leftover Cipro, and because I used to get UTIs all the time, I thought I would just, like, self-treat it. Public service announcement, really bad plan, but because I didn't have enough Cipro left, so it wasn't enough to knock it out. And so I was finally like, all right, this isn't going away. I went to the doctor, like, do that whole thing. They give me more Cipro, and it's like no real change. And then they finally call me. Like, I come back, I was in a meeting on Friday, and I have a message, like, my doctor's office has, like, an app on my phone, so I can see, like, when they send me messages or, like, I get, like, stuff about, like, prescriptions, and I, like, see I have a message and I have a voicemail, and they're like, can you call us back immediately? It's kind of urgent. And I was like, oh my God, I have cancer.
Yeah, which you never want to hear, words you never want to hear ever from the doctor.
I'm like, this is it. This is when I find out I have the brain tumor. So they're like, all right, so we got your labs back, and because I was complaining that, like, I was having what I thought was kidney pain, and they're like, well, it's a little low for your kidneys, like, but, you know, we'll treat it kind of aggressively. And they're like, well, yeah, it came back, and, like, you know, your sort of kidney levels are kind of high, and it turns out the bacteria that is causing the infection is actually resistant to the Cipro, so it's not working. You we're going to give you something else that says it's sensitive to it. So, like, if you say you're not feeling any worse, we'll try this first. But if you're not feeling better within 24 hours, you need to go to the ER and you need to get, like, IV antibiotics. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. My mom was coming into the city because we were going to go see a show that night. And I was like, okay, well, there's a Duane Reade right across the street from the office. I've never picked up a prescription there, but can you call the prescription to that pharmacy? And they're like, yeah, sure. Pick it up. I had to, like, cancel all my plans for the weekend and, like, lie around and just wait for these antibiotics to, like, take effect or not take effect, and then find the nearest emergency room.
Oh, my God.
My insurance. Thankfully, that didn't happen. The antibiotics worked because my immune system is a champ. But yeah, it, like, sucks. I was supposed to go down to New Jersey and, like, visit my friend that just moved there, and they, like, built a house, and I was, like, so excited, and I had to, like, cancel last minute, and I just stayed home and watched a lot of television. But I started watching Glow, which is great. I, like, super got really into it, and it's something that, like, I sort of was really, I thought it was something completely different from what it was. Like, I know the guys in the Ramblecast have talked about it a lot and how they liked it. And I was like, oh, this has got to be super male-gazy and, like, gross. But it's actually written and directed by a lot of female writers and a lot of female directors. And it's created by women, which I thought was pretty awesome.
It's got, what's her name?
Alison Brie.
Thank you. I was going to say Annie from Community.
Yeah.
She's a wrestler, right?
She's a wrestler, yeah. So it's actually, I really, really enjoyed it. And we've also been watched a lot of The Deuce on HBO, which is the new David Simon show. Like, the same people that did The Wire.
Okay.
Also very good. And it's, you know, it's about like the Deuce is what they called Times Square in the 70s. So it's all about, you know, sort of seedy underbelly of New York and like pimps and prostitutes. That's, and I was like, oh, again, this is going to be super male gazy and gross. But there's actually like the most recent episode we watched was, again, written by women. And like David Simon was very much like, we need to have women in the writer's room to like make sure we're telling this just because women need to be there to tell this story.
It's with James Franco.
James Franco plays two characters. He plays twin brothers, which I could kind of do without. Like, I don't know if it brings that much to the storyline.
No, but it's James Franco, so he's got to do the most ridiculous thing ever.
Right. But Maggie Gyllenhaal is in it. I really like her character a lot. And yeah, just like, I just really like David Simon stuff. I really do. It like made me miss The Wire. And but yeah, so that's, I just disappeared into other people's stories for the weekend.
Well, that's good. Nice. Are you feeling better?
I am feeling better. I am. It worked, and I feel like I'm, yeah, it doesn't hurt to pee for the first time in a week. That's great.
That's good.
But yeah, we're out of the woods, thankfully. Okay. Knock on good. Table.
Knock on table. I would. There you go. I mean, it's fake IKEA wood, I think, but there's wood somewhere in there.
This actually might be real wood. I think this is real wood.
Cool. I am going to New York this upcoming weekend for my niece's baptism.
Right. I forgot about that.
So I have I actually, of all the days I could have probably left early without consequence from work, it would have been this Friday, except because my boss isn't going to be there. And I have a program that I'm running from, I have to be, whatever, all day from like 8 to 5, which sucks because we are renting a minivan to see if we like minivans because Jay really wants his Glatmobile that I'm going to be stuck driving.
Oh, from the name alone, though. Come on.
I know, but why should women have to drive the fucking minivans? I know, because we, to be fair, I don't travel lightly. I bring the most crap. I bring 3 fucking bags in with me to work, as we've discussed, so I suppose.
Forget the kids. You need the Glatmobile just for yourself.
I do. So anyway. But no, the whole thing is, well, your car is probably worth like blue book value, maybe $800. So you can keep your car and drive it on Thursdays when you don't do drop off. Thanks. I'm so happy. But anyway, so we're thinking about, well, we're renting a minivan, driving up there after work, stopping in Baltimore, because I'm just tired. I can't do the pushing myself lately. If anything, like the wedding taught me, and just in general recently, I've been trying to like, I have not been able to work out as much, but this newfound weight, like in the last 4 weeks in between appointments, because you gain like a pound a week. So I've gained 4.5 pounds. And wherever it's placed, I'm having trouble adjusting to walking. Like, aww. I can't, like, I'm walking funny, which is throwing off my body because, you know, I think I'm getting out of alignment in some way. So I need to figure out how one walks.
With all this extra thing,
which isn't even that much extra weight. But still, it's like, I think it's my center of gravity, my mass is like off. So anyway, I've decided I just can't, like the party next weekend, the Halloween party, is probably going to knock me off on my ass for like 3 weeks after that. Because like, I'm really at the point nowadays where it took me a full week to recover from California. And I was going to bed at like 9:30 California time. And I go to bed around 11:30, 12 here. So I wasn't even staying up that late. Like that much later for me. So, but anyway, so whatever. So we're driving up. We're staying in Baltimore. That's the long story. That's why we always have such long episodes, because I can't forever get to the point. And then we're going to finish driving the next day. The goal is to get there after they set up for the baptism. Because my sister's having a party the next day. But no, you know, we'll go to her house. We'll drive straight to her house, help her set up. And then she's near the airport, which we'll return the car to. And then we're going to fly back.
That's a good idea.
On early, early Monday morning. We have like a 6:15 a.m. flight or something crazy. Just because, you know, I don't want to do that drive twice in 3 days. If it was spread out, we weren't getting there on Saturday to leave again on Sunday night, and I can't take more time off from work because I found, was I telling you guys, I found out that I thought that like you got just a standard 3 weeks plus however long you'd been there, short-term disability, and that was your maternity leave, because it's not maternity leave, it's short-term disability nowadays, apparently. So, but you know what, I get something, so I'm fine with that. So you have mandatory 2 weeks PTO you have to take. If you don't have the full 2 weeks, then you have to take it unpaid, which sucks. So I'm trying to save my time, and then I thought that I would have, okay, the 2 weeks, then 3 weeks short-term disability, and then that'll be my almost 6 years there. So then I'll have 6 weeks on top of that. And I was like, oh my God, I might make it the full 12 weeks this time. Except my boss was like, and she doesn't make the policy, this isn't hers, that you only get that 3 weeks one time.
What?
So it's now just however much I've re-accrued since the last time.
That's absurd.
So yes, it is absurd. So this will be 4 years since Zach was born next year. So I'll get the 2 weeks that I had, and then I think I'll get 4 weeks short-term disability paid, and I don't think I get anything on top of that. So, and I rather take it unpaid and just, you know, really be tight about things than use vacation, because I don't want to come, I don't use my vacation and then come back. And what if I have a baby that's sick, like Zach was sick, where I was working from home at least 2 days a month because he was always friggin' sick. So I don't want to blow through all my vacation early enough in the year. Right. I don't have any.
You'll also have two children, so that's like double the opportunity for someone to be sick.
Exactly. So, because I'm sure even Jay is lucky because Google gives him, I think, 3 full months paid. So I think the way he's going to do it is he's going to take off 3 months after my 3 months is over, biased more time before we have 2 daycare payments. But I'm sure Zach will probably bring shit home because, you know, little kids are dirty and they touch everything and each other. So anyway, yeah. So,
man, it's just like,
that's why I'm driving and flying back immediately.
Right.
Yeah.
We live in a country that constantly is talking about how it's the best in the world. And yet this, like, we could do so much better. Right. What is wrong with us people?
Because what is it, Denmark that like gives parents an entire year?
So I've seen the chart. Maybe Finland. It's Denmark.
That sounds right.
But
that sounds
Sweden.
Right.
Might be Sweden. Like I don't know.
It's one of those like wonderful. Like,
doesn't Australia do something crazy like that too?
Probably.
I don't know. But I, you know what? I focus on, I'm really fortunate that I can take the full 12 weeks.
A lot of people couldn't.
A lot of people couldn't. There was this woman who worked in the building. She wasn't my direct coworker. She worked in our building. She had a baby, maybe. I've heard this story, like, passed down. But I know it's true, because this is why my boss fought for the policy to change unsuccessfully. But she gained a lot of allies from fighting for this. So it used to be in my company that there was no maternity leave, but there was paternity leave, because the guy who was the executive director of it's not a parent company, but like we're a parent company under their HR, but we're a totally different company. So it's like the big company in the building. The guy was the director there for 37 years before he retired. And he was very, very chauvinistic in that his philosophy was he would favor the male department heads, give them raises over the women because they were supposed to be the breadwinners. And my boss got there and was like, this is bullshit. Then she was...
And illegal. Or actually in some places, probably not.
I don't think so, because it was never like on record. My boss was in the hospital after her daughter was born 3 weeks early. And one of the assistant executive director, the number two in charge, came to visit her. And she was like, isn't it great that so-and-so has just instituted paternity leave officially? And she was like, the fuck? So her daughter was born 3 weeks early, and she was supposed to be born a week after or 2 weeks after the year rolled over. So my boss was a week short to use vacation. So she had to take those 2 weeks unpaid because she didn't have any more. So,
absurd. Yes.
So while she's sitting there, she's like, I was sitting there bleeding, you know, realizing how I wasn't going to be paid for this. And all I'm hearing is how the it was great that the company was giving paternity leave. So she was just like, the fuck? She didn't say anything then because she didn't want to come across as like hysterical or not taken seriously because she didn't really always get along with this assistant executive director. So when this other woman came about, that was when she built her case. This woman had like a husband who was a drug dealer and didn't have a job. So she was really the sole income for her family. She had two other kids that were older. She could only take off 4 weeks, her two weeks that she had saved, and then the 2 weeks of short-term disability that she was eligible for. And she was back in there when she had like a 4 week old. Which is insane to me because your body is not even healed.
That's what I was going to say. Like, she's not even ready to go back to work. Yeah. Forget the fact that, like, she has a little tiny human to take care of that, like, doesn't even know how to be a human yet.
Right. My boss gathered, you know, all this stuff and was like, this, bam, this is where I'm going to make my case. This is the fight I'm going to pick. And she, you know, made her case. And the result was, they just took away paternity leave.
No fucking
way. To make it fair.
Dude, when did this guy retire?
He retired a year ago, actually.
Oh, what a dick.
So.
Wow.
I wish everyone could have seen the faces that Shandy and I made.
That's why I was stumbling at times, because I was watching your facial expressions, and I was like, ooh, I wonder if I could make them laugh. No, this is too serious.
I cannot.
Anyway, again, I'm fortunate enough that I don't have to go back after 4 weeks or whatever it is, so we'll see.
But yeah, like, it's in other parts of the, you know, like, quote-unquote, like, developed world, which is whatever. But, like, in other countries, you don't think about these things, because like, when you're sick, you're sick. So it doesn't, like, you don't, like, in France, for example, you don't have sick leave. You don't have, like, a bank of leave that you need to take when you're sick. It's just when you're sick.
Right.
The doctor says you're sick and you just don't go to work then. But you're not, like, calculating out, like, okay, now I have this many. Like, no, if you're seriously sick, like, you might be gone for a long time.
Yeah.
And that,
yeah,
and
well, also, I'm not birth. Yeah.
You're not able to work.
Just, like, unhygienic to make sick people go to work.
Well, that is actually very true.
Now they're like, you know, quote unquote, endangering everyone else in the office. Like, I have coworkers that will come and work sick and they're just like hacking all over their keyboard. And it's like, I'm now going to get sick because for whatever reason, like, just freaking stay home.
But some people can't afford to.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's a big problem.
Yeah. Like, you see it on both sides, like, go home. But then you're like, you know, shit, if that was me, maybe I couldn't afford to go home. So,
right. And that's sort of almost why, like, you can't fault the employee to a certain extent because, yeah, company policy is that you have X amount of sick days and you've used yours up or you're saving them for something else. Like, you have to go into work sick. And now you are exposing your germs to everyone else in the office. And that cuts down on productivity. So, really, companies should change their policy because it is not productive.
I think sometimes we have a really hard time with, like, looking at, like, long term, as a culture.
Yes.
Because it's the same thing with the healthcare stuff. Like, we're already paying way more than we would pay other places. We're just getting, like, really bad. Like, what you're getting for it is just, like, way less than what you would get in other countries. So, like, if we just look a little bit further down the line, make some adjustments, like, overall you're making a huge improvement,
right? Yep. You have a lot of problems that come with, like, the healthcare. Personally, I think that maybe sometimes the CEOs don't need to make $1 billion a year, and some of that money can actually, what is it called, trickle down. That was sarcasm.
They most definitely don't have to make that much.
No, but in all seriousness, like, you know, you can get the money from somewhere and it doesn't have to be from raising the premiums of the people. But whatever.
We already pay an insane amount. Like, there's ways to make it work, but you might have to gasp, have the government, like, negotiate with pharmaceutical companies, for example. Right. There's no reason that things should cost, you know, 100 times more here than.
Yep.
Oh, well, other than lining the pockets of people in charge. But only
amount of a profit. Like, we just have to decide that, like.
Right. Well, because.
No one needs to make $1 billion a year.
Because the way that America works, for good or for bad, is that everything is a business.
And that's, I would say that's like definitely for bad. Yeah. For better or for worse, it's definitely for worse.
Or not that,
not everything.
And not everything is a business, but there are certain opinions that think that everything should be run like
a
business.
But everything
like the
is.
The government, for example. Which is
like
not
many
a
people
business.
That are currently in the government or on the cabinet. Right. Education, not a business.
But it's run like a business, right. And it always has been, you know?
Not exactly, because education is not, currently education is not for profit. So ergo, right. Not right. Run like
not
a business.
Business. Yeah. Interior department, but, not a business.
If certain people have their way.
Okay, let's move off of this because we've been talking for a half hour and we have a shitload of other things to talk about. And I have a feeling that the stuff like healthcare is probably going to come up in the future. Because after we fix the tax code and welfare, then we're going to get back to healthcare. So we'll put a pin in it until then, after all of our other problems are solved.
So, Shandy, what did you do this weekend?
Yeah.
I had a very uneventful weekend as well. I went on a beautiful run on Saturday, but that's about it.
Sweet. Right, really. You posted some pretty sweet pictures.
Yeah, it's like this trail that I run on, or trail, it's, I mean, it goes along the ocean. It's like a bike path, I guess, it's more accurate. And I run on it all the time, but I always go left, and this time we went right. And it was like, why don't I do this more often?
And I took the road less traveled, and it made all the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair,
less traveled
I know exactly
by me.
Why, less traveled by me. I know why I don't usually go right. It's because there's like this little section that's like a little bit sketchy, and like there's a lot of like homeless people hang out around there. And so sometimes if I'm just like running by myself, it might not be my instinct to go that way.
Yeah.
Not that running past homeless people should necessarily be a problem. Not that like a homeless person is necessarily violent or what. But like when there's a bunch of like middle-aged dudes just like hanging around, you know.
When you're by yourself. Just, like we've all seen enough true crime. Like stranger things have happened.
Turns out it's actually not so bad. So I need to just do that more often. And speaking of stranger things happening, I also started watching Stranger Things over the weekend.
Yes!
Because I keep hearing about how wonderful it is and the second season's coming out. So finally I was like, okay, I will actually sit down and watch that. And I have, I think, 3 episodes left of the first season. It's really scary.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've become kind of a wuss when it comes to like scary stuff.
Yep.
So I like it and I'll finish it, but.
Yeah. I had to watch it again. I couldn't do it by myself.
Yeah.
I
was watching it by myself, but I made sure to watch a couple of episodes of Parks and Rec afterwards, like before I actually went to bed.
Exactly. It's not a like right before mind. Bed kind of show. It's like your 8 o'clock hour of television and then you go do something else before bed.
So when Jay wasn't home, I rewatched Stranger Things and we have this thing that's outside of the front door for Halloween, and it's like, you know, a headless horseman, but he's got like a, you know, you like hang him and then like the wind blows him and he goes things like happy Halloween
oh my god
and like, you know, creepy things, and you know it'd be like the scary music or something, and then I would just hear like trick or treat from outside. It would be like 11 o'clock at night and I'm like, this is such a terrible idea.
That is terrifying.
It wasn't my smartest move.
Yeah, although part of me thinks I should do a rewatch before the second season, but I don't think I'm gonna have time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now that I've got Glow and I've got the Deuce and I'm making my way through the Vietnam War, I don't know.
Okay, well, you'll have to tell me how Glow is because I watched the first 3 episodes because I also heard that it was, like, great and, like, if you're a feminist, you'll love it. I watched the first 3 episodes and it was kind of like, meh.
Yeah, that's how I felt, too. And then there was somewhere around, like, episode 4 through 6 that I was like, oh, I need to know what happens next.
Okay. Okay, so I'll have to... I'll get back into it.
Though. Yeah, because the as everyone kind of settles into their characters, they start to feel less like stereotypes and more like real people.
Okay.
And then I start to get now I'm attached to everybody and their storylines and.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would stick with it, and they're half hour episodes. They're between 23 and 27 minutes, so they're really digestible, yeah. Which I think also helps.
Uh-huh. Maybe I'll watch an episode of Stranger Things and then follow
an
it up.
Episode of Glow.
I think that's probably actually
a palate cleanser.
It's a deep dive. It's a cultural tour through 1980s America.
True. And actually, speaking of the 80s and just to the past in general, last night I also rewatched the pilot of a 90s show, My So-Called Life, which Yay! We had talked about. And I know Colleen's rewatching, but it was so great because, I mean, obviously, I've seen it a couple of times, but it's just every time you watch it, it's just oh,
yeah.
This is so good.
It was ahead of its time in a lot of ways. So it really does hold up because, yeah. And it just sucks that ABC couldn't see that. It should have gone on longer than it did.
Although, because it's only one season, they didn't have time for anything to go wrong. It's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't drag on and they didn't have to keep upping the craziness of, I feel like any show that you watch, the first couple of seasons are usually pretty good, but then things need to get crazier and crazier. So then and I'm looking at you, Weeds, yeah. Seasons 3, 4, 5, it's just insanity.
Yeah.
Or the whole gang goes to college together, oddly right. enough.
That never works.
And that's weird.
Yep. So. Gossip Girl tried to do that. And then they just tried to aid them. Yeah. So that's true. It does kind of live in its own little lightning bottle.
It's tragic but perfect all at the same time.
Well, if anybody else out there is rewatching with us, let's try to finish it. I don't know. By the end of the month? No, that's too long.
By Broadsgiving.
I was
going to
say by the end of... Oh, yeah. I like that. I was going to say by the end of the year, so...
All right, Broadsgiving.
As far as I'm concerned, the year is over. I'm already, planning... my weekends are full from now till Christmas. Uh-huh. The year's over.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? I was thinking about this the other day, thinking about our last episode from 2016... When we talked about what we wanted to do in 2017, and I was kind of like, should I do any of that stuff? It's already October. Some of it I did, some of it I did not, but here we are.
Yep. Whether I've done them or not, the wheel of time crunches.
So let's move into the facey back, because I had an article that was set to go before we started, and the article was titled "What Your Sex Sounds Say About You." And then I was putting the facey back in for the show, and Dennis had a good, I think, runner-up, which I'm going to substitute in today, LaCrosse's Bizarro Sex Burglar. So I thought,
similar. And we also got other feedback about sex.
That's right. We got the health benefits of sex.
Yes.
We did.
I like that when people think of our podcast, they think to send us.
Yes. So, long story short, this is the sex article part of the show. And I don't need to talk about the sex sounds because, we can table that one for next week. It will get read before the health benefit of alcohol. But moving into some facey back. Woo! Let's start with LaCrosse's Bizarro Sex Burglar. Call this person the Bizarro Sex Burglar. 5 women went to the police Friday morning reporting that someone keeps leaving sex toys throughout their house on Vine Street in La Crosse. And I believe that is somewhere in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Okay. One day it was a used dildo put back in its package and lying in the bedroom. So creepy.
Used.
That's really uncomfortable.
Another day, it was a pink vibrator between the sheets and a banana covered in scented lube in the basement. The women all talked to their ex-boyfriends who denied leaving the items. The women had seen someone lurking in dark clothing outside of their house on October 9th. But that's about the only clue they or police have aside from the various items placed throughout their rented home. They also don't know how this person is getting inside of their house. Guys, the sex toys are coming from inside the house.
Oh, God.
This is creepy and amazing and disgusting and creepy at the same time. And you imagine, I kind of picture this as being like an Agatha Christie type thing where it's like all the ex-boyfriends are teaming up at once.
But it's like, it's only funny because it's not happening to you. Oh, like, if it was happening to you, it'd be terrifying. It's pretty terrifying. It's like super fucking
It's messed up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, like, the first time, like, let's just say the pink vibrator in between the sheets showed up first. Would you be like, okay, I've got four female housemates. Maybe one of them got drunk and got freaky or something, and, like, this ended up here. Like, do you say something at first? Like, the first person that found something, are they, like, side-eyeing everybody else? Like, you know.
Sort of like, I think you say something.
Is anyone missing a vibrator? Anyone happen to be in my bed?
Yes. No judgies, but you're going to have to not.
But you're going to have to pick this up for me. You have like a tissue that you're like holding it with. I am really interested in hearing more of this story, and I think it would also make a great podcast. Can you imagine the next serial?
Right. Or it's like I started listening to My Favorite Murders. I feel it's kind of like that.
Each episode focuses on a different sex toy, but it's not even a sex toy burglar because he's leaving the toys.
Yeah.
So is like a sex toy Santa?
No, because if they're used.
Yeah.
It's more like the creepy, like Times Square Elmo. It's like not really.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gross.
Yeah, I have issue with this.
I don't know. I also take issue with the fact that they don't know how the person's getting into the house, which makes me think that they need to invest in a security camera and, like, get this guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Or someone is lying.
Or someone is lying and it's really their stuff. That's a whole lot to go
through. Or that someone does know who it is and they're like, gave them a key or are letting them in and out of the house. And they're like,
somebody gave somebody a key, but doesn't want to admit that they gave them a key. I'm totally hearing the serial music in my head, by the way,
right now. Which season music, though?
I've been listening to that. So I was listening to that unconcluded podcast, which is the story about a girl who was disappeared without a trace back in 2006 in Orlando. Oh, and then it's very interesting, but the guy kind of sounds like I'm totally into it, but he sounds like a surfer dude. And I have a hard time listening sometimes because he talks like this. And then the dog scent just stops at her front door. So we have like no idea. And I've also been listening to that Dirty John podcast that everyone keeps talking about. I'll let you know. I'm finished with the first four episodes. There's six total.
Never heard of it. No one I know has been talking about it. What is it?
Really? Okay, so it's a podcast that it's put out by the LA Times, and it's kind of like a giant like human interest article, I feel like, or true crime human interest, but it's just broken up into six different chapters that has been told as a podcast, and it's this guy, John, who begins dating this woman, Deborah, back in 2013, 14, 15. It was recent. It was like in the age they met on Match.com. So it's very recent. And you learn in the beginning that something's not really quite right with him and he's not who he says he is. He says he's an anesthesiologist who was in Afghanistan and, you know, all this other stuff. And they start dating and they move in together after like a month. And it's just kind of telling how this guy's story is like unraveling. And it's very just interesting. But I heard that episode 6 is just like, it's interesting story, interesting story, interesting story. And then you get to the last chapter and it's like completely like, what the fuck? So I'm very excited to get to the last story.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, but they're, you know, it's 6. They're quick. Listen to them after you listen to us.
Yeah.
If you need a palate cleanser from our discussion about maternity leave, please go listen to this podcast about this crazy psycho guy. Alleged. Because I don't know how the story ends. If he is alleged. Crazy.
Potentially.
Potentially.
I'll let you know next week.
I'll let you know next week. Cool.
Yes.
All right. Wow. Moving on. This is from the 5 Feel Good Rules. This is Facey back. Drake followed up with, they go to a farm and make more baby goats, of course. I think he also had an email.
So he also followed up on the goat break-in story, which we were, of course, dying to know. So here's how it goes. He says, I was at home and heard a banging on the door. Go to the door, and it's a baby goat breaking the screen door. So while fixing the screen door, he headbutted, opened the wooden door, and just let himself in the house. He ate some cat food, drank a little water, and then proceeds to take a piss on the rug.
That's okay.
I'm sure that rug was like really brought the room together, right?
Right. Doesn't matter. He was so cute. He headbutted his way in. He's allowed to do whatever.
That is really cute. That is really cute. But also, can I just like pause and say I just made a movie reference?
Did you?
Yes.
She said that the rug brought the room together.
Oh, right.
Was that yours?
Anyone? Yeah, that was good. That was good.
We don't know what it's from, but that was super
good.
But
I do know. I do remember it. I can't think of it. I can't place it. Was it
The Big Lebowski?
Oh.
Big Lebowski. Yeah. And just, you know.
I know it's a movie I've seen.
That's right. Can I list What's-His-Face as one of the top 10 best actresses of all time? He plays like a woman
Jeff
at some
Bridges.
Point, doesn't he? Yeah.
No, I don't think he plays a woman. Julianne Moore, however, that would have been a good choice for that list.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Sorry. Okay, continue. So, goat piss.
Anyway, goat piss on the rug that really like brought the room together, tied the room. Anyway. sorry.
At
I'm
a
really
weird angle.
But I'm proud. I liked it.
I couldn't be mad since he was cute and he seemed to be ashamed of himself. After that, I picked him up and took him outside and played with him for a little while and then went back in the house. He was outside crying for me to come back out and play. He ran around the house and went on my back porch and started to headbutt the sliding glass door when he saw me and wanted back in the house. Eventually, he left. Much like Cotton Eye Joe, I don't know where he came from or where he went, and have never seen him again.
Oh. Did he leave a dildo? Because we might have found the answer to our sex toy Santa Elmo.
I think I'd be okay with that if a baby goat was like
us.
I think that's the only way I'd be okay with that scenario, if it was a baby goat.
Yeah, that solves the answer of how he got in.
Yep. He just headbutted.
Oh, I love that story. Now,
yes.
Did that baby goat come from the yoga farm?
I mean, where else could he have come from? He's not like a wild baby goat.
Because now I just have like all these follow-up questions about where Drake actually lives. Because like, I mean, I can't imagine a goat just like showing up where I live. There was a dead raccoon once,
I don't
but
think
that's
he lives
different.
In the middle of California or the Bay.
Oh, does he live like in the middle of a
he drove here in May, so
there was a rogue
driving
cow
distance.
Roaming around Brooklyn today, so really
what
yeah, there was a rogue cow that was roaming around Prospect Park today. It was on the news.
I like that a lot. Where did it come from and where did it go? Also, like Cotton Eye Joe.
I don't have answers to either question. I just know he was nearby to where we live and he was
awesome.
Roaming around the fields in the south part of Prospect Park.
Okay, then.
Yeah. So, you know,
amazing.
We don't know.
We don't know.
All right.
My nature story is that there's been a beaver outside of my office window for the past 2 days.
And please tell me you're on like the second or third floor.
Yes, I'm on the third floor. It's on a hill, so it's technically the second one. It's on by me. We're by a lake. My office.
Yeah, but the lake's not on the third floor.
No. Now he's not outside my window. He's like on the ground outside my window.
Okay.
He's not flying up.
Flying beaver.
That sounds like, is he on a tree branch? How did he get up there? Beavers don't climb trees.
Although between the beavers and the camels, it's like all the vagina animals are invading our lives.
Wait, you have camels? Oh, you have, no, never mind. Sorry, Morocco. Got it.
Yeah. Got it.
Sorry.
And I'm back.
Oh, well, I guess I won't send your guys' gifts. They were camels, but whatevs.
Woohoo!
Awesome.
I'll take it.
Yes.
Oh, it's a real camel, though. So you're going to have to, like, feed it.
Oh, Zach will be so happy. We'll teach him responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Matt said, to this day, I have not ever put it in my mouth to hold it like that since. That's what she said. That was quoting me, and I would like to say, well, I haven't.
And that is actually what she said.
That is exactly what
she said. Yeah.
Mandy said, is this weird to do? At what age is it no longer appropriate? And then she linked to an article from today.com, and it was Olivia Wilde kisses her son on the lips and stirs up controversy. I guess people are offended that she's kissing her three-year-old on the lips.
In one of the comments, they were like, she's kissing him like she kisses her husband. You can't do that. I don't think so.
I don't know. I feel like that's still in the like realm of normal.
Yes. The picture is actually very cute.
It's adorable, and I'm pretty sure I kissed my son on the lips this morning like that. So
yes. Yeah, let's all like just get off of our
25. Like, yeah, maybe that'd be a little weird.
Maybe like, the person
and even then, that's true. Joe Anglim definitely kissed his dad on the lips.
That's right.
That's true. I am being super.
But we certainly did all talk about it. Yeah, I think it depends on the family.
Right.
Well, and also family, sexualizing something like that—that's
is
exactly what has problems that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Like, it doesn't have to start so young. Like,
right. Yeah. Jeez. Like, don't add your opinion onto what's happening and assume that that's what's happening. It's like, no, that's your reaction to what you're seeing. That's not actually what's happening.
Right, exactly. Like, in my family, we would never do that, ever, ever. It would be really fucking weird. But it doesn't weird me out to see that somebody else would do that. It's a cute picture.
It's a cute picture. And you know what? Her son should be lucky that he's loved and has a mother that loves him and shows affection to him. Bam. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bam.
Ronit Rowe says, well, I saw this in the mall the other day and thought of the broadcast. Discuss. And it is a balloon banner that spells out, love your tatas. Can't argue with that.
You cannot.
I feel like that goes in like a doctor's office, like where you go get mammograms.
Well, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Right. And they were pink, so it probably was something Breast Cancer Awareness Month related, which is great, but you should love your tatas all the time.
Yes. Although I don't remember if I've mentioned it on this podcast, but tata in French is what you call your aunt. So it also to me reads like love your aunts, love your aunties.
Yeah. You should do that all the time too.
Kiss them on the lips.
If your family does that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like our next bit of feedback actually came from Desiree. I don't know how much of this can of worms we want to open, but it was 17 jokes about the friend zone that'll make women laugh, then sigh.
Oh, I can maybe take two.
I'll take two. All right. I haven't read all 17, so why don't you each pick a number between 1 and 17, two different numbers, please, and I will read that
Eight.
Joke.
Eight? Well, I mean... Oh, sorry. I'm looking at it now because number one, it's not like a joke, but it's just like an honest statement of the situation.
Okay, go ahead. Read away.
This person, Melanie Bracewell, says, who's verified, by the way, on Twitter. So I don't know if you know who that is. Love it when dudes say the word friend zone as if it is a real thing and not just a tool to make girls feel guilty for not having sex with them. Sorry, just reinforcing my argument from last year.
Number 8. Let's see. Amanda's pick. if you're tired of being put in the friend zone, I have good news. Women don't actually want to be your friend.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's...
I picked the number blind.
But they might not. They might want to be your friend. They just don't want to fuck you. Right? Is this one of those things where I'm missing the point again? Because clearly we know I have friendship zone, like, mental block concept issues. Thank you, Desiree.
I'm totally reading all of them now.
Okay. Is there any others that float your boat? There any of them that you would like to read?
Let me go back to the one. I mean, it's just basically, like, totally to the point of, like, what I was thinking. Like this one, for example. You think getting friend-zoned is bad? Imagine your creepy male friend thinking you owe them sex. Like, exactly. Just all pointing out the absurdity of it all. If a girl doesn't want to have sex with you, I promise the reason isn't because you're friends. And also by the same person, who is Dana Schwartz. Quote unquote, I'm not attracted to you. You kind of creep me out, and you perpetuate weird sexist archetypes equals the friend zone.
Here's a happy one. Me entering the friend zone. Wow, this is beautiful. There are so many friends here. I am very lucky to be alive.
Exactly.
Yep.
Moving on from the friend zone topic. Off of the friend zone and on to a way happier topic. And that would be...
Baby goats?
Baby goats! No, so... We had some emails and some requests to talk more about the, not just the Harvey Weinstein stuff, but just the topic and the discussion in general that has come about once again in America about sexual assault and sexual abuse and harassment and those in power taking advantage and all of the related things that come about from that. I can start with Facey back comment from Janet, and we're going to have a longer discussion about it, especially the hashtag MeToo that went around this past week, because you knew we were going to say something about it. Come on now. So Janet wanted to know, if you're discussing the Weinstein subject matter, I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts about the Affleck brothers and Matt Damon. I'm personally disturbed about the as a father of a daughter response for many reasons. So a lot of celebrities, male celebrities, have come out, including Matt Damon. Affleck did not do that, though. And I don't really give a shit what Casey Affleck says, because he's just gross as well. But
he is also, like, he is no better than Harvey Weinstein. Like, he's just so much of a perv as well.
Let me finish. Sorry.
And Affleck, like, came out with, like, a big thing about him being disgusted.
Yes.
So,
Ben Affleck's problems, too. Ben Affleck is a guy to die with some demons, because I'm sure he's also a raging alcoholic, which probably does not help. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying Ben Affleck is a whole can of worms. I'm personally disturbed about the as a father of a daughter response for many reasons. I'll leave two here. One, don't use your daughter as an excuse for saying something about your friend being a serial sexual predator. And two, many abusers have daughters, some of them the same age as their victims. Sink Pisser added, can I add a number three? It's called being a decent human being. Having a daughter isn't a prerequisite for treating women or children or people in general appropriately. Everyone should already be doing so. And Brian chimed in with, yeah, I have a son and I feel repulsed. Bless you.
But that should have been an amen.
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 Yeah, I think we got a lot of that too with the response last year about the grab by the pussy tape. And it was like, well, if you really need a daughter in order to understand that women are people, then you're totally part of the problem.
Exactly.
So I get that, like, this is supposed to be coming from a good place, but, like, you might want to look at yourself a little bit too.
When it's like trying to establish yourself as some sort of, like, expert, or like you have some extra card to throw into the ring because you
is it
have
I feel like it's just
no it isn't at all, but I'm saying I feel like that's why it's posed that way, like,
and I can be a subject matter expert to talk about this because I have three
Exactly. Like, because I have daughters, I'm ergo qualified to make commentary on
See, now I feel, I don't even feel like they're saying that they're qualified to make commentary. I think that they're just doing the female relative equivalent of, I'm not racist, I have a black friend.
Oh, no, that's exactly. Also, yeah. It's all kind of this, you know, same yeah. thing. Like different fingers on the same hand.
Yeah, that's my feeling. I think the Affleck brothers are disgusting, and it makes me kind of sad because I want to like Ben Affleck, but he's just such a dirtbag that right. I can't.
But I mean, there must be some good in him because Jennifer Garner like saddled herself up to him for so many years, so he can't be all bad. But yeah, I'm not a fan.
And I think that he behaved or was more under control when he was with her, and she was able to keep him sober.
And I think, you know, I think the three of them are all kind of products of their upbringing, because it's like Matt Damon has also made really off-color, unaware statements about like women and like people of color in media, and like not knowing it was a problem, like that whole green light situation. And I think it's just like it's a product of their environment, you know, like they were not raised to understand it, and that doesn't justify it. But
are
it's
you
like,
saying it's because they're from Boston? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, I grew up in New England too. Yeah, it's not a terribly diverse place.
That's the same with Long Island. Long Island is actually incredibly diverse. There's just a lot of not getting along amongst the diverse. And Lori's out there listening. I'm sure she can back me up here.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't justify it or condone it by any means.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's like they're no better than anybody else.
Absolutely. But speaking of product of the environment, we got an email from Mike called Looking Back. And he did say that he is prepared to be reamed out for this email. Hey, ladies, I wanted to weigh in on the sexual assault / harassment topic that has finally had a light shown on it this week. With the prevalence of the topic this week, it's caused me to sit and really think how I have reacted in the past and what effect it has had. I can remember being in eighth grade. This was about 30 years ago, and grabbing my classmate's ass and generally bothering her in other ways that from memory were far out of bounds. I guess it was some kind of way to win her over. It's hard to recall what I would have been thinking then. Probably with your dick. The details are hazy, but I do know that this happened and that as an eighth grade boy, I thought this was an appropriate way to pursue someone. It's not that it was something explicitly taught to me, but it was / is just the idea of boys being boys. The ideology was pervasive at that time and really hasn't faded. This isn't something that I've just had as a revelation. It's an episode that I've thought about many times over the years. How did my actions affect her from her life thereon? Did she tell a teacher and they ignore her? Why wasn't I punished or pulled aside in some way? I am really unsure how long this went on. Maybe days or weeks, I'd just be guessing. Whatever it was far too long. I was lucky enough to grow beyond that pretty soon after, but I really can't speak to the years in between. I know in high school I was on the receiving end of abuse, so I'm sure that clouds my memory. During high school, I found a part of the punk / hardcore scene that was embracing feminism, gay rights, and more. This was the early 90s, to give some context. Thankfully, I found this group, but what if I hadn't? Would I have continued down a road that led to something worse? Would I just be someone who assumes that all the victims are lying and just out to get these men? I really don't know, and it's far less important than what my actions could have caused. Because of all of this, I try and be hyper aware of what my son is learning and from whom. I want him to fully understand people's boundaries and how important consent and respecting others is. Hopefully I succeed at this and am part of the solution in the future instead of the cog in the wheel of abuse I was in the past.
I got no Raymond. I think you learn your lesson. Life is about learning from your mistakes.
Sounds pretty woke to me.
Yep.
Yeah. The only thing that I will say is, so he asks, like, I wonder how this affected her. I wonder. And I can say, well, she probably just posted # me too about you. I mean, those things stand out in people's memories. But I'm really happy about how thoughtful your email is and that you even wrote it in the first place, because it shows that people can change. But I also think, just like we were talking about with like Matt Damon and whatever being products of their upbringing, like this, it's not to like say that it's not your fault. But like, yeah, you were also a product of your upbringing, and that just goes to show how toxic the culture really is. So luckily you can be part of the change, and that's amazing that you're doing that for your son. But that's like where it comes from. You know, that's like, he talks about how he doesn't even know like why he would have thought that was a good idea. And it's like, well, these things are enforced. If you think about any rom-com, it's basically be a stalker, don't take no for an answer, wear her down, and she'll eventually say yes. It's like these aggressive models of masculinity are shown and then rewarded in every type of culture that we consume. So of course little boys are going to internalize that. And again, it doesn't make it okay, but like goes a long way in understanding where it comes from.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so important to also be thoughtful now about like what we choose to consume as media, et cetera.
Just to piggyback off of what you were saying, like, and what he was saying is, yes, he found that group, and it was very lucky for him. And I think that that's kind of key is, yes, we're products of our society, and clearly society is teaching us all these things. So it's not that it's not your fault if you are a young person who is impressionable and thinks that this is the way. It's what you do and learn from it and take from there to then try to change be a part of the solution in the future. Because a lot of what I've read on the internet, as I waded into the damn comments again.
Just don't do it. Just don't.
Sometimes you have to. Like, you just need to know what the wackadoo things are being said.
But it's sad and it's disgusting, and it's the same mentality as the people who think that Mike Pence is a hero for not dining with a woman who isn't his wife, or going to a party with alcohol without his wife as a guest. Because that all just perpetuates this like women like that, or women are temptresses, or women aren't capable of. You know,
or women have one function, and that is to be sexualized and objectified.
Yes.
That's what that is.
That's not their only function. They also have to make dinner and clean the house.
Right. Right. Those two things together.
Yeah.
And breastfeed the spawn. Like, come on.
But not in public. Good Lord.
But not in public, in the privacy of their home, preferably while they're vacuuming.
Preferably while they're staying home.
Because those rugs are not going to clean themselves.
No, in my world, that's what beep bop boop is for.
Beep bop boop, get on that.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, it's, yes, that is all, that's a part of society. And, but it's, are you not mature enough, but just walk me through that world, evolved enough, thank you, that when you are faced with the lesson of being like, oh, wait, that's not a, like, are you going to fight back because, and be like, oh, this is the stupid feminist again trying to ruin everything, or are you going to do like Mike did and be like, wait a second, this is not okay.
Right.
Right.
I think it is not your fault to make a mistake when you are young and still learning what your opinions on the world are.
Because we've all been there.
It is your fault, however, A, if it is brought to your attention what you did was wrong and you don't learn from it, and B, is as you grow to an adult that you don't have friends that have different worldviews from yourself. That if you just stick to your lane and you don't ever converse with anyone else that thinks differently from you, that is your fault. That is your fault, because you're just going to perpetuate and not learn and not grow. And you're going to pass that on to your children or anyone else you come in contact with.
Yes.
And that's what I take issue with. But that's how these things continue on, is because no one steps out of their lane to evaluate if their lane is correct or not.
Mm-hmm. And then I think what you do from there is, especially if you're a guy, like, you be vocal in public spaces about how it's not okay, which is exactly what this email is about.
Yep.
And then, and training the next generation of men to be good people.
Yeah. And
because it shouldn't be all on the victim. And I think that, not to quite get into the Me Too thing, but I think that's part of my issue with it, that we always, it's always somehow the victim's responsibility to prove that this exists, and it shouldn't be on them. They've been through a freaking enough.
Well, so we're going to get to the Me Too thing in 1 second. But what you said actually just reminded me is when you said it's not all on the victim. This email, you know, was talking about how men can step up and say, you know, that not cool, like, shut the fuck up. And I was reading, I've been reading all the different stories that have come out over the last, you know, week and a half or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was a quote by Jennifer Lawrence, but it kind of stuck with me. And she said, "I'm still learning that I don't have to smile when a man makes me uncomfortable." And how many times are you in a situation uh-huh. where you don't want to make somebody angry for fear of how they might respond or fear of hurting their feelings? And, you know, you smile and you be polite and then you make an excuse to get out of there. And it's I do that constantly. I do that all the time. I probably do it once a week, maybe even more. And it's just to avoid being in a situation where I either feel like I'm hurting somebody else's feelings for making me uncomfortable or don't want to speak up for myself because I don't want to make somebody mad because by telling them like that I don't agree or whatever it is, which is, it's funny, but that just kind of was one of those things that just stuck with me.
No, I totally agree. Same thing. And I don't even just, it's not just with men. I do that with other women too.
Oh yeah.
Well, I was going to say, especially in the case of men, it's like you were saying, Colleen, like a lot of times yeah. a lot of times we do it like to feel safe. And then also we're socialized to put men's feelings in front of our own. So, but just like you were saying, like heaven forbid we make a man uncomfortable or have a contrarian opinion or something. We are taught from a very young age, not necessarily explicitly, but definitely implicitly that
yeah.
that's more important.
And this is, I think, where we have to come together to work together as men and women to combat the problem is when you read a lot of the stories of Harvey Weinstein, because he's the, you know, most prevalent one, where women would say, Kate Beckinsale said no to him how many times, wouldn't be alone with him, turned down offers to be in his movies, and he would harass her and harass her year after year, party after party, and make jokes like, Kate only lives to say no to me, and things like that. So then, you know, do you smile and agree so you're not put in a situation where your harasser is going to keep coming back and take that as a challenge? So that's when I think it's time for other people to step up and be like, hey, dude, leave her alone. Not cool.
Mm-hmm. But here's where I will disagree with you.
Okay.
I don't actually think that we need to come together on this. I think that men just need to get it the fuck together. I don't think that it's for women to...
I think you misunderstand when I say come together. I mean, work in tandem as two sides.
But I don't think
recognizing...
we need to work in tandem either. I just think that men need to get it together. I think that women have been doing...
in a way, them working for, like... the problem. I don't know. Maybe we're splitting hairs here. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I just think I think we need to not lose focus of where the problem lies, and that is with men. Mm-hmm. And yes, before people freak out, I know not all men, but that's where the problem is. It's with those some men, and actually a lot of men, who do these behaviors, big or small. And they're the ones that need to get together. And meanwhile, like we're just here, like trying to survive and not piss somebody off. And I don't think that you can necessarily ask somebody to like stop doing certain behaviors, like stop smiling when you're uncomfortable, because that's putting women at risk then, because they know that, well, then that person might feel like they need to attack them or something. So I just think we need to keep the focus where the culpable person is. And that's what it's a men's problem. And that's what pisses me off with stuff like this, is we call it women's issues, but it's actually a male issue.
Yes.
Women suffer the consequences, and it's the men. So sorry, not sorry. They need to get it together.
Right. Absolutely. So, and then I'm sorry. Go ahead, Amanda. Go ahead.
Two points.
No, go ahead.
Point one, Chandy, I completely agree. And I, as someone I was Facebook friends with this week posted something, and they borrowed the quote from someone. I don't know where it came from, but it essentially was just this idea of the language that we use. And that's also what sort of perpetuates the problem, that we talk about, you know, like 1 in 5 women get raped, or X amount of women are raped a year. That, like, what if we just switched that conversation?
Yes, I saw this too.
To 1 in 5 men will rape a woman.
Yes.
Within the next year. Or, like,
yes.
X amount of men have a sexually assaulted a woman. That, like, that, even just by doing that simple change, it's all the same information. We're just addressing it in such a way that it takes the pressure off the victim to prove it's a thing. Like, we know it's a thing. It's just, you know, and it's not the victim's responsibility to fix it. Mm-hmm. I agree. It is the man's responsibility. And I think it's great that there are so many wonderful men that want to be allies. But wouldn't it be wonderful if there was more men that stepped up and said, hey, in 8th grade, I sexually assaulted mm-hmm. a girl and I didn't realize that's what it was at the time. But now I'm older and I'm wiser and I know better.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. this is my story and this is what I'm doing to make it yes. better.
I was going to suggest that our last emailer start a hashtag about that.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's, no, that's so wonderful. Much more. And oh my God, I think that's the best idea. I think we should do that because I think that is so much more.
Yes.
It's such a better use of everyone's time. And it's a better way to move a needle forward than just every woman who's ever been sexually harassed or assaulted, yes. which is everyone who identifies as female.
Yes. yes.
Whether you have a vagina or not. You, yes. If you identify as female, gay, queer, whatever, you have been sexually harassed.
Yes.
But, like, we don't need to keep saying that this happens because we all know. We all know.
I totally agree, because I was actually going to make a joke, but I couldn't think of it fast enough, just about why not start, you know, a male hashtag that, you mm-hmm. know, because like we were talking about, when you're younger and you do something like that, you don't know, because nobody's telling you, you know, nobody is telling you, you just assume, however my thought's going, you know where it's going. Mm-hmm. But then also there's a sense of, and I think part of, and we can transition this into the Me Too thing, is I think part of the reason why so many women are coming, big events like the pussy grabbing and the Harvey Weinstein stuff is bringing out multitudes of women, is because there's so much victim blaming that goes on in the country that uh-huh. they feel safest coming out in numbers. And hell, uh-huh. even now, some people don't. probably feel safe. I was reading a article, a blog post, an opinion piece, whatever it was, that pointed out that some of the language from some of the Harvey actresses and victims that were speaking out, and it was, we're only hearing, and in a lot of times when people speak publicly, they only tell the stories or the version of the stories that they think the public can handle, because they're still might be keeping back some of the worst of it to protect themselves, so they don't get, because they still have a fear of being blamed. And you see it all the time. And not to pull a total example, but like Mayim Bialik's post, it started off great. And then I really took issue with the last couple of paragraphs where she talks about how she wasn't ever pretty enough to be sexually harassed. So, and she, the way she dresses is to keep her sexual self, you know, in private. And it just came across as kind of victim-y blaming to me. And I, mm-hmm. like the first half of it, I was like, oh, great, I like this. And then I got to the last 2 or 3 paragraphs and I was like, oh, this part I really can't get behind. And it happens all of the time. There was a post I was reading in the Raleigh Moms Facebook group today, and a man attempted to take her 4-year-old into the bathroom at the airplane park to do something sexual with him. And the way he distracted this mom is he came back from his car and handed her a paper cup of wine. And she says in the news story that she felt awkward causing a scene, so she took the wine and then turned around to dump it out. And do you know that the first 5 fucking comments on that was, oh, she took wine from a stranger, but then she's going to complain when he tries to abduct her son in the bathroom?
Mm. Also, like, that's not helping anybody either.
And thank God the sane people came out after that, and they were just like, are you serious right now? Are you serious right now? Like, you're going to tell somebody who's by herself with a child, who doesn't know somebody, doesn't want to make a scene, doesn't know if he's going to pull out a gun if she refuses to take this cup of wine,
Right. I mean, this gets back to what we were saying before exactly. about being socialized to put men, even men you don't know, their feelings in front of your own. Like, you don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable, even though they're the fucking weirdo making you feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
So you take off the point. That's insane. There was a quote that went around.
Why would she turn around to pour it out? I don't know. Maybe she didn't want to pour out wine in front of her kid. Like, you know, like, who right. knows? Who fucking right. cares?
Who knows and who cares? Yeah. No, but Jessica Valenti had said and yes. wrote an article about it too, like how different the world would be if we just believed women. And that's just it. Like, why does it take how many people had to come out against Bill Cosby before there was even a trial and then mistrial?
Human.
Right, like that's ridiculous. So it's all yeah. It, again, this like to show everyone the magnitude of the problem. Like, yeah, I mean, women know the magnitude of the problem. Men who weren't aware of it have not been paying attention or are in denial about their own actions
or but, not that close to a woman.
Right, but again, like if
or people don't have a daughter, fully, isn't that it?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they don't have a daughter. They don't have a daughter, so they haven't fully come around to the fact that women are people.
Yep, they're not that close to their mom. They're not that close to the daughter. They're not quite, that close right. to their sister. They just know women.
And even that, like, I don't really understand because, like, yes, that's great because of like the way that families function. Like, we're all sort of connected to both men and women, but like, it really shouldn't even take any of that. Like, even if you were somehow, you know, disconnected to any person of the opposite gender, you should be smart enough, be sensitive enough, be like human enough to understand that they're a human person,
yeah,
deserving respect. Like, it's not that hard, people.
I don't know. Our vice president.
Yeah, well, don't forget. Oh, yeah.
Fucking worst.
And don't forget, our president in a news conference just this week reminded everybody that the women that came out with him, that's fake news. Because that's what happens in the world of politics, quote unquote. Yep.
And he was going to sue all of the women that came out against him.
Yeah, but we know he's real bad about deadlines, so.
Yeah, no, I don't think any of them have been sued.
I believe the deadline, well, the New York Times deadline was up, or the Access Hollywood thing was up. Anyway, let's read the Me Too email.
Okay. So, Kayla wrote into us, and just FYI, I met her over the weekend. We had brunch together and Yay! Hung out for a while, and yeah, Sunday. She just happened to be in Monterey, and it was funny because, like, I had some work to do, and I was like, okay, I can do brunch, and, like, you know, I thought, like, a couple of hours for brunch, whatever, then I'll do my work. We ended up staying, like, a good hour and a half longer than I even meant because I literally did not see the time fly.
That's awesome!
Yeah, it was cool.
That's really cool.
So, very cool. Second listener that I've met. Yay! But she wrote in with hashtag Me Too, and she says, "Hey, ladies. Just had a quick question/topic that I wanted to hear your opinions on. I noticed that along with all the incredibly strong women who posted Me Too yesterday/today, along with some of their personal stories behind it, there were also a few men that posted it as well. I know some of them personally who definitely have gone through some awful shit, and luckily most all of them pointed out that it is obviously disproportionately more towards women than it is to men. But I still felt like the whole point of it was to show that it literally happens to every woman at least one point in their life, if not every day. I kind of felt like they were pulling attention away from what it was really about, and it reminded me a lot of the men who used the Women's March in a similar way. Obviously, it happens to men too, but it just made me want to say, stop making everything about you. Ha ha. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks. Kayla, hashtag I'm with hers.
Thought?
I don't know. I think any male posts that I have seen in the Me Too category have either been from gay men or just straight up in support, not trying to steal any thunder. So I don't have an issue with it. I think I also look at it in the same way as how white privilege, anything other, you know, inclusivity feels like oppression, that it's theoretically the table is big enough for everyone to have a seat. That so long as you're contributing and you're giving space to everyone else, there should be space for you as well.
Go ahead, Shandy. I didn't have my even have the video card up, and I was like, I'm just gonna let her go.
Yeah, I'm also kind of like have a mixed opinion about it. I did see some men posting, and it's like men, the ones that I saw were like really thoughtful feminist men who I love and respect and like understood sort of the complexity of them even posting. So I appreciated that. I do agree that like the focus of this is that it happens to all women. And so I don't want to like, you know, all lives matter this thing. Essentially, which is like when some people have taken that to the next level of, well, and I saw some of this on like third party posts, but like, yeah, you know, talking about how it happens to men too. And essentially like there are bad people on both sides, you know, like that sort of thing. Like that's where it's like, no, that's not, I get that it happens to men too. But what we're saying is that women first and foremost, like this is like, we are treated as second-class citizens, which is compounded by if you're also, you know, of a racial minority or a sexual orientation minority or anything like that. So I feel, yeah, I definitely feel a little bit mixed about it. But I do think that also the important common denominator is that, again, this is perpetuated. Like, I know there's an asterisk in here that, yes, some women have definitely abused people. But the big asterisk is like, who are the perpetrators? It's men. So I don't know, mixed feelings, but as long as they're like thoughtful.
Right. Like, yeah, let me reconceptualize, because I wasn't trying to make an all lives matter thing. Like, because yeah, I agree, I it's bullshit. Like, whatever. But
no, that's not how I took it. Sorry, I wasn't responding to you.
I was like, okay, good. I was like, let me make sure I'm being crystal clear here.
Right. I know that you wouldn't all lives matter it.
But yes. It's pretty much anyone in the population that feels that they have been marginalized. Because if you feel you've been marginalized, okay, wait, no, I'm going to take that back because that's not true. Because that opens up the door for... Okay, go ahead, Colleen, while I formulate my thought. Go.
So I was just going to bring up that Jim Beaver post. He said, Beavers again. He's an actor on Supernatural, and he's been in a whole bunch of stuff. You'd know him if you saw his name. I'm sorry, if you saw his face. And he had this great Facebook post last night, He was talking about how he was molested by a high-ranking officer when he was in the Marines. You know, this went on until he was able to get himself out of the situation without any hardship or repercussion, but... In hindsight, he wondered, you know, would anybody have believed him? Would his military prospects had suffered, et cetera, et cetera. But all those questions came after he was able to get out of the situation, because he was fortunate enough to not have to put up, you know, go man to man like with his word. But he recognizes that the difference with women is they don't always have the luxury or the privilege of being able to get out of a situation easily, and they have to consider while they're trying to get out of the situation, they have to consider, and this, I think, Amanda speaks to what you're trying to say with anybody who's in a position of minority or less power. They don't have the privilege to be able to stand up for themselves. It's kind of like Terry Crews shared a story. He's what, like a 6'5", you know, African-American man. And he said that some executive grabbed his junk in front of his wife at a Hollywood party, and he could not fight back because he had to consider, you know, if I say, hey, man, get off of me, or I made a move, like pushed him off of me, would I get arrested? Would I never work again? So I think that might be something what you're trying to say is, Jim Beaver points out, is what happened to him, like... what happens to women is that, you know, boys will be boys mentality, and they get away with it a lot easier, whereas, you know, the women have to stand up together to say me too to be believed.
Right. And I think also it's just sad that there's so many like intersectionality within the minority of America that has some sort of issue with having a voice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there are a lot of issues we need to work on. And if you try and address all of them at once, it really does become a little overwhelming. But like it's like they're all problems. They're all problems. And that in a perfect world, we'd be able to address all of them.
Right. Now, you took issue with the Me Too movement, correct? Because you felt that it was, once again, victims having to prove themselves?
I did. And I think it kind of shocked me how much of an issue I had with it. Like, I didn't post any Me Too stuff because I'm just getting really tired of participating in these social media things where I don't see a clear path forward because of it.
We literally did this just last year in October. Yeah. I was like, this is deja vu all over again when the pussy thing came out and everyone was posting their stories. And I think
it was a different hashtag.
Yes. And turns out the Me Too campaign thing has existed for 10 years and was started by a woman of color who has not gotten credit. So that was an interesting tidbit that I came across. But it's also depressing.
Let's find her name and speak it. Yes. Speak to power.
Yes. But she started this 10 years ago, and some things have changed, but some things, it's not enough. And I think it's okay to demand better and faster.
Absolutely. And change is not happening very fast. I do think that for every social media campaign like this, I truly believe that it does reach some people because some people do start to pay more attention, whereas they wouldn't have paid attention before. I think that there's probably some generations or members of some generations that might be lost causes, and it's frustrating. And there might be certain commenters on the internet, whatever demographic they're in, they might be lost causes. But I do truly believe that even though, no, it's not enough, I think that you are opening more eyes on some level with discussions like this. I
agree with you to an extent. Yeah, but I think we put too much on the victim to move it forward. And it's like, it's not going to happen that way. You know, I'd much rather think of like, hey, let's come up with a hashtag for the guys so that they can start sharing and I think we should start that today. Like, I think when we're offline, we're going to come up with a hashtag and we're going to do it.
And I don't disagree with you there. I absolutely think that. But I do think that there is some merit. There are people that feel safer coming out in numbers. And I do think that they have to
because of the culture.
Exactly.
Okay, let's not do these campaigns and not give them any place that they feel safe coming out. Because that is culture. So they need to have, there needs to be some sort of outlet.
No, and I'm fine. Like, I'm fine, obviously. I'm more than fine with anyone who did post. And I mean, that's just it. Like, I think I agree with both of you. Like, we need to shift the conversation and the responsibility and the work to the men at the same time, still supporting anyone who finds any sort of anything in posting, you know, their own hashtag Me Too post. I think that's fine. And if you want to, that's fine. If you don't want to, that's fine. If, you know, but at the same time, we need to shift the responsibility, shift the emotional work.
Or just balance it out a little bit. Like, why does it all have to be like in one pile? Like, it's a big problem. I think we can share the workload a little bit.
I don't think we need to do much. I think we need to push all of the workload to the men. Seriously.
Then it won't get done.
But we need to demand it. There needs to be consequences.
Yes.
So these kinds of actions, and big and small. Big and small consequences for big and small actions. And there needs to be a cultural shift.
Yes. And the problem with cultural shift is that it moves at a glacial pace. Well, it actually moves slower than a glacial pace. Glacial pace because, you know, hashtag global warming.
Oh my God. Although, so cultural shifts happen really slowly, and I agree. But again, over the weekend I was talking to somebody, and like How I Met Your Mother came up and how they really like that show. And I was kind of like, oh yeah, I really like it too. But I recently rewatched it, and a lot of it was kind of cringeworthy. And it was like, wow, there's a lot of really sexist and homophobic stuff in the show. And I watched it for the first time because I was late to the party as usual. I watched it in 2012. So just in the last 5 years, there are already things where I was like, ooh. So that means the person was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. That means that we've already progressed that much. It's like, wow, that's actually
kind of a cool way to look at it.
Yeah.
There's still a glass half full moment. Yes. Oh, that's a good way to bring this conversation to some kind of good conclusion. That's great.
Sometimes things can go faster than you think. And I'm sure there are still tons of people that would watch that without batting an eye or without even like picking up on any of the things that were kind of like, you know, made me feel weird. But they didn't make me feel weird the first time that I watched it, and they did this time. So there's that. The sample of one.
That's actually true. A lot of things don't hold. I mean, they hold up, but they don't hold up at the same time.
Yeah. I think Friends is a great example.
I was just going to say,
some of the humor. Both from a feminism standpoint and from a minority standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like some of the, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's never. Their trivia contest with Ms. Chandler Bong is never going to get not funny to me, but there's other things in that show that, like the friend zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Goddamn friend zone.
Or Joey putting all, could I be wearing any more clothes? I feel like all the bottle episodes are still funny. Anyway, but yeah, agreed. If anybody, I'm sure we'll... It's been a lengthy discussion. Let's come up for air. We can revisit it if we get some feedback about it for next week. Thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call, 331-276-2373. We have a lot more feedback. I don't think we're going to get to all of it. But we do have a poop voicemail, which I feel like is a great chaser to a story about men being poop. Why not?
Hey girls, this is Ed, the mailman from California. I had a question for the ladies. I'm going to be a... My son is marrying a lovely lady who has two wonderful little girls who I've been babysitting recently a lot. So one day they were over, we're running around, they see the bathtub, oh, the bathtub, and I just casually say, oh, yeah, maybe one night you come over, well, you know, you have a bath, and okay, and they were all, I didn't think nothing of it. So the next day, my son calls and says, did you tell the girls you're going to give them a bath? And I said, well, I mentioned it and stuff, and then she said, well, don't you think that's weird? And I said, I don't know. And then she says, don't you think you should ask their mom? And I said, I don't know. Is she in a bath too? I wasn't sure what he was talking about. But then after, because I guess they're not fully related, I guess. So then, anyway, I asked the mom. And I said, do you think it's okay if I gave the girls a bath? And she's, the girls love you. I don't see any problem with it. That's fine. And, of course, to make mom feel better, I told her I have a big enough bathtub. All three of us will fit, so there won't be any issues there. But anyway, that last part, I was kidding. Anyway, so what do you girls think? Do you think it's weird, because I guess it would be my step-grandkids if I was there when they got a bath. I didn't think nothing of it. I'm old school, but everything's so politically correct these days. I don't know. I know what you girls are thinking. Creepy, but I'm just was just being me. Funny. Anyway, let me know what you girls think. Keep up the good work. I was looking at next year's schedule. I think I'm off that weekend for Raleigh, so if you know anybody that's flying from like Monterey, San Jose, and needs a companion to fly with, just let me know. I may be out there. Talk to you girls later. Ed the mailman. Bye.
Okay, that was definitely not the poop one. So creepy or funny? I'm gonna go with creepy.
I think if someone said it was creepy, then it's creepy. Like, I think it doesn't matter what we think. I think if his son was like, it's a little creepy, then maybe it's not appropriate.
I'm gonna chime in with creepy as well.
I really
maybe
thought...
abort that.
Yeah.
So there were two calls last week, which we didn't realize. And if the mom doesn't have a problem with it, then I default to whatever the mother says in that situation.
That's fair. Yeah, I could fall on that too. I think not. You should have seen
Shandy's face when you said all three of us could fit in, though. It's really funny. Okay, let's finish on the real poop one, and then we're gonna get the hell out of here. We'll get to the rest next week.
Hello, ladies, long-time listener. And I figure you guys are old enough, I can probably call in where it's not so creepy. But anyway, Colleen had requested good poop stories on another podcast. So I was going to tell you a story. I guess my friends, they were in Hawaii. And it was my friend Diane and a couple, Greg and Janelle. And I guess they had gone to lunch and went off to the beach. And I guess when they got out far from the beach, I guess Greg tells the girls, oh, I wish I would have kind of went to the bathroom before we headed out this far. And Diane says, well, you know, go ahead. I'm sure people do it all the time in the ocean, assuming he was talking about number one. So what happens is Greg says, oh, okay, I guess. And what proceeds to happen, I guess Diane says, all this bubbling starts going around him. And, you know, you can see lettuce from the salad and stuff. So he basically pooped right there in the beautiful waters of Hawaii. And I think it kind of ruined their day at the beach, but there's a good little poop story for you, Colleen. Anyway, girls, I love listening to the podcast. Keep up the good work. Eddie, Ed, the funny mailman, out.
I like how we got phone calls from each of his personalities. We got the creepy mailman and the funny mailman.
You just never know what mailman you're going to get.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God. All right. Poop in the ocean.
Aquadump.
Aquadump. That was
that was a really satisfying poop story.
Yes, that was.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you for that. Sorry again to everybody else that had to listen to the bathtub story before we got to the poop story.
I hope it was worth it.
Okay. We've got a bunch more, but we're going to have to save them for next week. This includes an update on Andy's virginity and some actually serious emails that we got. This has been a really serious show, so I'm real glad that we could end it on such
on poop.
On poop. thank you to Ed the Creepy Mailman and all the rest of the patrons out there. If you'd like to become a patron, you can visit patreon.com/JayandJack, or you can go to jayandjack.com and click on the link that says become a patron. Special thanks to Ed the Creepy Mailman. He gets funny. This we can end on funny, creepy and funny mailman, Tack from Tokyo, Molly the Millennial, and Eckhart Rickner. Thank you guys so very much. And again, all the patrons, if you are so inclined to shop through Amazon through our affiliates link, you can go to jayandjack.com/Amazon. Check out some of the other shows on the network. There's a Stranger Things podcast that has just debuted with Jayjack and Mike Bloom. So you can check that out. If you want to hear more of me, you can go to Survivor if you listen to that. And that's about it for me. Thank you again. I promise we'll get to these. All right, on that note, I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out.
See you later.
Bye.